We've been in Galatians, looking at this Galatians series, and we're going to continue in it. We want to just allow the presence of the Lord to continue down the same path. How many know He deserves the glory, the honor, and the praise? Without Him, we'd be in trouble. But we are thankful that we have a God who cares about us, wants the best for us. So He gave Himself as a ransom for us. And He wants you and I to understand those principles. So they're getting our stuff together here. Hopefully it'll be working here soon. All right. We're going to try this thing, see if it'll work. We've been in this Galatians and going through these things. I want to go back a little bit, and we're going to just cover some of this that we've already covered, but just read these scripture again just to kind of catch us up where we were. So let's go back to Galatians 4, verse 21. Galatians 4, verse 21 says, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? Do ye not hear the law? For it is written." It is written. Again, silly Paul goes right back to the scripture, and he's going referring back to the Torah. "It is written that Abraham," that's what we've been on for the last few weeks, talking about the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law, "that Abraham had two sons, the one by bondsmaid and the other by a free woman." Now, I've heard a lot of messages preached on this particular passage. I'm not sure I ever understood it. Even in my teaching and preaching, I'd use it from time to time to mean this or that, but finally, we see why he put that here, because he's letting us know that there's two covenants. So he says that it is written, "Abraham had two sons, one by a bondsmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondswoman was born after the flesh." Remember that, after the flesh. Now, it's amazing when you think about this, because this whole study is dealing with the flesh. Circumcision of the what? The flesh. That's why we started this whole series, because he said, how is it that some say you have to be circumcised in the flesh versus circumcision of the heart? One is the letter of the law. The other is the spirit of the law. I mean, you understand that. So he says, "But he who was of the bondswoman was born after the flesh, but he who was of the free woman was born after promise." It's after promise, because it was promised. And that's when faith had to come in, because it said Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. And then he teaches us about faith, because Sarah couldn't have any children. We'll get on that in just a little bit. So that's why it took faith. You had to believe. You had to trust God that God would bring it to pass. How many know that there's times in our life that stuff's not going the way we want it because God's trying to get us to trust Him so He can bring it to pass? And so many times people, in the time that they should be trusting God, we give up and we forfeit and we just say, well, maybe He don't want me to have it. And we go on to something else. And we start pursuing that, and then that doesn't work, we go on to something else. Never staying true and staying on course of what God wants us to patiently wait for, and that's something we have to be careful in, that we don't move on too fast because we think God don't want me to have it. What if Abraham would have moved on too fast? He waited patiently. Patiently, he waited and waited, and all of a sudden, God brought it to pass. And when He did, now we have what was called the new covenant, or that which produces liberty. And we'll go over all these things tonight, hopefully. Verse 24 said, which things are an allegory with things, the two covenants, one born of the bondswoman, one born of the free woman. These are an allegory. And he's going to tell us what that allegory represents, what it means. For these are the two covenants. Talking about the one born of the flesh, one born of promise. These are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which is gendered to bondage. Let me see that. Gendered to bondage, which is Hagar. And the other, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai of Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Remember that. Jerusalem, which above, is free. And this is very important, which is the mother of us all. And then he goes on and says something again. He says, for it is written. Now, he said that earlier, and he says it again. It is written. This is where we left off, so we're going to really get into this, because I believe this is important principles to this study. Says, for it is written, rejoice thou barren. Notice that, rejoice thou barren. Sarah was barren. She couldn't have any children, but what God says to do, rejoice. Rejoice. And so he said, it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate had many more children than she which hath a husband. Notice that. The desolate has more children than the one who has a husband. Now, where do we find this prophecy? We find it in Isaiah 54, verse number 1. Isaiah 54, verse number one. Now, I want you to, this is a time right now where you get excited about what's about to happen. What's the Isaiah 53 read? What's that chapter about? It's a prophecy of the one who's gonna come. So notice that all the way back to Isaiah, he's saying something that's gonna happen. So I want you to, look at John 16, verse 16. John 16, verse 16. And the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of Yahweh is preached. Now, I want you to understand that there's a time period or a time frame for a certain thing to be. And he tells us when that time frame is. Now, John was a forerunner, meaning John was going to come first. John was going to come first. It says, and the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of Yahweh is preached, and every man presseth into it. Notice that. Every man presseth into it, and it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Isn't that something? So he says, now that we have this spoken or said, he said, what's happening here? He says, we have Isaiah 54, which we'll read in just a little bit, some of it. And then Isaiah 53, he said, the one that is promised is coming. He said, once you know that it's coming, what do? You press into it. And so these are important principles. Matthew 11. Look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist unto now. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. How many of you ever heard that verse? Until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now watch what he says. For all the prophets and the law prophesy until John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come, for he hath ear, for he that hath ear to hear, let him hear. So he's speaking of this what's about to come, what's about to come on the scene, what's about to change, and he's talking about, because we have the letter of the law has already been established. But what's coming, or to, what's right at the door, about to enter in, he says, it's no different than when John, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven done what? What did it do? Suffer violence. Suffers violence. But the violent take it by force. This is very important. Well, let's look at it and see. Look at Isaiah 53. So this is what's prophesied just before Isaiah 54 when he says, sing, O barren. When he says to Sarah, because she's barren, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. It doesn't look like all hope is lost. It's never going to come through for her. She's going to be in trouble. It's the promise will never come. He gives Isaiah 53 and he says this. Who have believed thy report? And to whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Notice that dry ground. He's growing up as a root out of dry ground. Sing, O barren. Sing, O barren. Dry ground. And he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. I mean, you see that. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of Elohim, and afflicted. I want you to see that this was not an easy transition period. Nor is it easy to transition from what? The old covenant, or the letter of the law, to the letter of the Spirit. That transition was not easy. And I want you to see something here. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and Yahweh hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. How many thank God for that? Yahweh laid on him the iniquity of us all. And this is very important. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Notice that he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers. He is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and whom shall declare his generation? It's a great question. Who shall declare his generation? Very important. Very powerful principle. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Notice that. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he was made, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the riches of his death, because he had done no violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. None. Notice that. Yet it pleased Yahweh. I want you to see that it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He had put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Notice that, make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days in the pleasure of Yahweh, shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Notice that. What he's going to do? Bear their iniquities. Verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. Now he's going to talk about what he's going to do. I'm going to divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. What was he numbered with? The transgressors. And there was no deceit in his mouth. We just read that. No deceit in his mouth, but he was numbered with the transgressions. And he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgression. Isn't that amazing? That's absolutely incredible that God would do that for us. So I looked at that, and then we want to go to Isaiah 54, and we want to start that first verse as it was in our study here, and it says, sing. So, right, he's continuing. He's continuing. He says, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Notice that. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth unto singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith Yahweh. Notice that what he's going to do, or what he's going to bring about or bring to pass, is far beyond what the first covenant was able to do. Notice that. Now watch this. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Enlarge, he says, when I gave you the law, we stretched the tent cords and we got them, we pulled them as tight as we could. I mean, we pulled on them and drove it down. He said, but now that the new covenant has come into play, pull those stakes and lengthen thy cords, because this thing's about to get interesting. He says, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtain of thine habitation. How many see that? Spare not. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. So he's letting us know, it's like if you've ever went camping or whatever, you get out and you put your tent up. You put your stakes out, or you got a tent. You had some stuff going on where you had a tent, and you put it out in the yard. We've done that several times here, and in doing that, sometimes we don't see how important it is to get them down really good. So we get them down, and the storm might come. Say the storm comes. So then all of a sudden the tent starts shaking, starts rattling. Watch that for me, Papa. If it starts gleaning the other way, it's close, huh? So, what do? He says, all of a sudden, he says, pull the stakes up. Lengthen the cords. Spread the curtain. Put more out. Because what's about to happen is going to do more for you than the other one can do all that time. That's he's saying that some, you gotta start thinking, not that we're losing anything, but that we're gaining something. What the old could not do, the new will be able to do. So he says, this is making y'all nervous. Let me go ahead and grab this thing again. He says, Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtain of thy habitation. Spare not. Spare. I can't. If I can only get to emphasize this part right here. Spare not. Ask for big. Dream big. Believe God for what. Don't give up on what you've been believing God for. And strengthen thy stakes. If you ever drove it down hard and strengthen it, you need to do it now. Watch what he says. For, you ready for this? For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Somebody needs to get this tonight. You're going to break forth on the right hand and the left. Once you get what we've been talking about, once you see that this new covenant that's under Sarah, the one that was promised, that's why he says, sing, O barren. Sing, shout. You need to get, listen, and let me tell you, there's not a lot of stuff to shout about when you've been desolate. There ain't a lot to shout about. And I feel like that's where we've been. We've been right there in that spot. It's like, Lord, when is it going to happen? When is it going to take place for me? When is it going to happen for me? Well, listen. He says, thou shalt break forth on the right and the left, and thy seed shall inherit the what? And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. There's a difference here now. Because the law, when it was given to the Hebrews, the Israelites. But this one, he said, I'm going to do something different with this one. He said, I'm going to make a provision with this one. I'm going to make a provision. He says, I'm going to call it, in the fullness of time comes, I'm going to graft them in. That's what I'll do. How many of you see that if you wait for the promise and not try to do it through Ishmael, you'll get what God wants for you, but you got to hold on with everything you got. He said, and make thy desolate, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Now watch verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. And let me tell you, it was shameful for the wife of Abraham, the father of everything that God promised, for his wife to be barren. I mean, if anybody needs to have some children, she needs to have some children. So God, in his masterful plan, he says, I know it looks bad. I know it don't look like it's going to happen, but if you'll just trust me, in one day, that one that was, I'm so full of shame that thou shalt remember the reproach of my widowhood anymore. What happened? It says in Hebrews that Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Something happened. And what happened? She was able to finally get to bring about that child that God had promised. Isn't that amazing? For thy maker is thy husband. Notice that. Thy maker is thy husband. Yahweh of hosts is his name. And thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the Elohim of the whole earth, shall he be called. Now, I don't know about you, if we're picking teams, and I find out that you got Yahweh, the Elohim, on your team, I don't even think I'm going to win. They picked teams and said, well, I guess we're just going to have to do this. Remember Abraham? Well, Lord, I guess you're going to do this through Ishmael. the way it looks. And God said, well, no. No, no, you don't realize. You're not getting it. You don't realize that for Yahweh had called thee as a woman forsaken in grief and spirit. Notice that. And a wife of youth. When thou wast refused, saith thy Elohim. No, notice this next one. For a small moment. Everybody say small moment. Have I forsaken thee? Just a small moment. I know it seems like a lifetime. If you're not waiting in, 25 years is no small moment to you. But to God, it's just a small moment. I could have done it in 10, but I didn't. Because I needed to get your faith where it needed to be. Because what I'm going to do is going to be so big, the faith you have now, it's not enough for you in 10 years to get it. I could have done it in 15, but I didn't. He said, but I'm going to call this a small moment, have I forsaken thee, but with great mercy will I gather thee. He said, I can tell you, it was worth the wait. Because when this new covenant comes into place, you're going to see something completely different than how you, no matter if you even kept the old covenant. He said, if you decide, Paul, he'll say this later, if you decide to be circumcised in the flesh, then you are a debtor to the whole law. If that's what your decision is. But I want to tell you, for a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercy will I gather thee, and a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith Yahweh, thy Redeemer. Notice that. Everything he allowed to happen, he came back and reinforced that. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith Yahweh, to have mercy on thee. How many see this? O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not confronted, behold, I will lay thy stone with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphire. I will make thy windows of agate and thy gates of carbuncle and thy borders with pleasant stone. And all the children shall be taught of Yahweh, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. How many thank God for that? Thou shalt not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals and the fire, that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I've created a waster to destroy. Now watch this last part. No weapon that is formed against you, against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall raise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of Yahweh, and their righteousness is of me, saith Yahweh. Now I don't know about you, but that's promise right there. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I can tell you, it may look like you're losing, it may feel like you're losing, but if you put your faith and trust in God, he says at the beginning of this chapter, sing, O barren. I like when he brought that out in Galatians. That's because Paul, I believe he was just waiting. He couldn't wait. I can't wait to get to that part. And when he got to that part, he says, for it is written, sing thou, O barren. He had all this information. And that's what made him want to go into that. Verse 28. He says, but we, brethren, Notice that. We brethren. Who's he speaking to? Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to Gentiles. He's a Pharisee. There was no Jews in that day that was going around calling Gentiles their brothers. Except for Paul. Except for Paul. Paul, he said, but we brethren. That was a very uncommon thing. Nobody practiced this, especially not the Pharisees, whom Paul was. But he said, but we brethren, as Isaac was, or the children of promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, if you want to know about this revelation I just read to you in 53 and 54, but we brethren, we are the children. He was talking about them. There was an inclusion of the Gentile that were coming to the faith, but we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Amen. Verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him. Remember that? That was born after what? The Spirit. So he's letting us know, he says, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him, that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. It's the same thing. He said, that's what's going on. The one that was born first, and let's not forget, Ishmael was the firstborn. The one that's born first persecuted the one that was promised. He said, even so now. That's why you're underneath this persecution. That's why they're telling you, we understand you coming into the faith, but us Jews, we're telling you, you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. Because we're Messianic Jews. They were Messianic Jews that were telling them this. Not for long, because they went off in their back. They put themselves right back under the same things that they were taken out of. They put themselves, the same thing that Christ paid for, Mashiach paid for, they put themselves right back under. That's the same thing happens to people today. He frees you. You're free. If you want to be free from whatever the sin is, you're free from it. But you can go back and get right back underneath that. Nevertheless, verse 30, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondswoman and her son. Let me see that. Cast out the bondswoman and her son, for the son of the bondswoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Let me see that. Verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondswoman, but of the free. Let me see that. We are not children of the bondswoman. And here's the thing that is so important for us to grab hold to and understand in this. He's telling us. He says, so then, brethren, he continues this pattern. So then, brethren, me and you are not children of the bondswoman. So, but of the free woman. We're under the spirit of Torah, the spirit of it. How many ready for this? Chapter 5. Whew. Verse number 1. We're moving on. I'm going to get through this. It says, stand fast. How many see that? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. In the liberty. I want you to keep that in mind, the liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Messiah hath made us free. Who made us free? Messiah. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What does he call it? A yoke of bondage. The letter of the law He's being under the under the flesh, the one that genders to Mount Sinai. He says, if you do that, that's going to be putting you, and he calls it the yoke of bondage. But you've been set free. Now, here's where the church, this is a spot to gingerly take our time, because this is where the church went wrong. We read the writings of Paul, and he says, you see what it says? He says, we're not going to be entangled with the yoke of bondage no more. So why would you keep the feast days? Right? Why would you keep Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur? Why would you recognize those things? We're not under the bondage anymore. That's what Paul called it. Verse 2, he says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, I want you to notice how he detailed this, Messiah shall profit you nothing. And this is important. This part right here, very important. Very, 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 very important. And if ye be circumcised, you circumcised, Messiah shall profit you nothing. This is what this whole thing's about. This is what we started in. It was about circumcision of the flesh. If you be circumcised, Messiah profits you nothing. And so I can understand why the church would get in a tizzy there over this thing. Well, you know, I just don't. Let me tell you what happened, though. Because they didn't adapt to anything, it's going to be filled for you. It's going to be filled for you, and you're going to start gradually, though. It's not going to be a big thing. It's going to gradually come on, and before you know it, your participation in pagan system, it replaces what the new covenant wanted to replace. That's what happens. And you say, well, that don't happen. Well, let's just look at any group at any time. We see that eventually you can have four or five different organization churches who believe certain things in the Bible, certain ways, hence they call themselves a different denomination, but their system of how they worship is the same. They all adapted the same system. We adapted the system. They adapted the system. It's all, you're going to do that. Unless you do what God says in the scripture. You won't do that. How many understand that? Very, 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 very important. So I hope that you see that. Because this is valuable. You can't even begin to describe how valuable this is. Now, the next verse 3 says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised. He's dealing with this circumcision, what we started with, that he is a debtor to what? The whole law. Remember that. The whole law, not some of it. The whole law, the whole thing. You're a debtor to the whole law. Messiah is become of no effect. No effect unto you whatsoever, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are what? You are fallen from grace. He says, so I'm trying to tell you, if you're here and if you're saying we're justified by the law, he said, you have fallen from grace. And so when you get a scripture like this, you understand how important it is. I mean, you look at it and you go, well, God, this is so valuable. If you and I say that we're justified by the law, then you're falling from grace. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And we understand that principle. But here, it's a tricky thing. It's very tricky because we have to embrace these things. Let me see. Let me do a couple more, and then we're going to find a spot to stop. Verse 5. Galatians 5, verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of the righteousness of faith, by faith. I mean, see that. For we, how? Through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, this right here, 6, I mean, Galatians 5, verse 6, if you want to use something to help everybody, and somebody comes to you and they're talking to you, this one verse right here, it's pretty much a summary. It says this: For in Yeshua Messiah, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. That's the whole thing, right there. If somebody needs to be explained, and you want to really explain it to them, this portion right here, this portion, I can tell you, for in Messiah Yeshua, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. If you get this part right here, and you can explain this part, you're going to be well on your way to being able to share with people what Paul means. And we're hoping in the last portion of this study, because it's going to get long. I know it looks like we're moving on it, don't it? I mean, we zipped through the latter part of 4. We're going through 5 like no tomorrow. But it's gonna slow down here in just a little bit. But Galatians 5, 6 is a part that I want you to start thinking about. For in Yeshua Messiah, in Messiah, notice the key thing is in Messiah, in Yeshua Messiah, neither uncircumcision availeth anything, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Very important. Verse 7, for we did run well, who did hinder you, that you should not obey the truth. See, go right back to where we started at the beginning, because they told him, you know, you're doing good, we're running well, the church is growing, and you're coming into the faith, and who told you that you wouldn't obey the truth? Verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. I don't know where you got your information from, but it didn't come from him. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. He said, that right there is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. Because people come along and they'll sell you something, they'll tell you something, and you'll say, well, maybe that's what we ought to be doing. And you'll do that. Who came and hindered you? Who came and changed this? Because the persuasion that you're under now, it didn't come from him. Very important. How many see that? Let's see here. We got a spot where we can stop here in just a little bit. Verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Master, that ye be none otherwise minded. None otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. The one that troubles you is going to bear his trouble, whoever he is. Verse 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? He's telling, look, he said, I'm under the same attack you under. Then is the offense of the cross ceased, or the stake ceased. Then is the offense of the cross ceased. And so he is letting us know about this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop right here, and we're going to deal with this verse 10 and 11 going through. This will get us in a real good spot for in the morning. We covered quite a bit tonight, but this is really going to get us in a spot where we can launch from there. I'm going to cover 10 and 11, 12, 15. Let's see. Yeah, 10, 11, 12 for a while. We're going to go through that because I want to deal with that cutoff, what that means. So let's stop right here. This will be a good spot in the morning. We'll start Galatians 5:10, and we'll spend some time on this and look at it and see what he's talking about here. But I appreciate you. I thank God for you. I thank God for the time that we have to come and be in his presence and feel his anointing. I hope that you would go back and read Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 54 and meditate on that. The reason I put it in this slide, because that's what I did. I just read it and I read it. I kept reading. I was like, God, you're so amazing. How good you are that you would take some time to do what you do for us. And so I really am excited. Now, in the morning, I'm going to be touching on some things that's going to be probably, I don't know, maybe a little controversial with, and I'm going to talk about some folks. And I'm going to mention some names and so forth, but I don't mean it in any way to hurt anybody or to demean anybody. But I'm going to point out some things that's being said here recently, that's preached here recently, and show you why we got so much trouble, why the things are going the way it's going. And so I may point out some folks, and maybe it might be somebody that you watch or whatever, but I don't mean it in any negative way as far as the person. But I do mean it, I'm going to speak against the fact that you can't say these things that are being said today and have this and be successful when it comes to where you and I are going to be in our future. What does it look like? What is it going to where's my place in it? Because when you believe those things, you're going to be lost, thinking you're going somewhere, but never get there. It's a terrible thing. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read the quotes. I'm going to read them verbatim so you can see it. I'll give you the place where it's found. You can go back and look at it. But tomorrow, I think we're going to get on that part in the morning. So I appreciate you for being here. I thank God for you. Does anybody here need prayer for anything? Miss Charlotte been not feeling good Thursday night. She was, or Wednesday night, she was just...